from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. I'm Hino. Unfortunately, Scott is out gigging in Arizona. He actually was on his way back, and the planes didn't cooperate, so he's not going to be here in time. So you just stuck with me. But thanks for tuning in. As you know, this show is for all you songwriters out there, and we're doing our monthly showcase this month where we bring in just some amazingly talented writers and performers who we know here around town who maybe just haven't had that big, huge hit yet, but are definitely on their way. So, and it's brought to you by our good friends over at LR Bags, makers of great pickups. Both Scott and I use them in our guitars, and I see them in just about everybody's guitars right now. I see them in Sam's guitar, and they just make great stuff for not only guitars, but violins and mandolins and all that kind of thing. If it's acoustic, they'll amplify it. They're awesome. Check them out at lrbags.com. So now, without further ado, we're going to introduce our first showcaser for this hour, and that's Sam Cooper. When we talked about doing the monthly showcase, the idea was, as I mentioned, just to shine the light on some of the characters and poets that are out there on writers' nights all over Nashville and playing in the restaurants and the bars and the honky-tonks all over the South. And Sam is one of those guys. He's been putting in all the sweat equity for many, many years, and he's become an integral part of the current songwriter community. Not only is he out there playing his songs at night, but he's producing others and hosting nights and days, actually, as well, songwriter nights and days, to give others the chance to play and to shine and to network. He's what we like to call the Orange Man from Happyville. It's a pleasure to say to our buddy Sam Cooper, welcome to the Music Row Show.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you, Hino.
All right.
Thank you.
So when and why did you decide that Nashville was where you needed to be creatively? Because obviously you're not from around here, boy, are you?
Well, no, I'm actually a Southerner, though, even though I don't sound like one.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
And
that counts.
When I was 19 in 72, I moved to New Jersey. I accidentally got into the music business. I had no confidence that I could ever play in a band. And somebody asked me to come jam with them sometime, and I did. And that led to a band that started gigging, and then it became a full-time thing. And here I am after all those years, from 72 to now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the most compressed story I've ever heard. That's pretty good.
I know we don't have a whole lot of time.
So. Oh, we got plenty of time. What actually brought you to Nashville specifically? You're playing all over the East Coast, I guess?
Well, there were a couple of things. First of all, there was a guy in New Jersey who had visited Nashville a year before I got here. And he came back telling me all these stories about all this great stuff that was just, you know, it sounded like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, but then I went on one of Delbert McClinton's cruises.
Aha! We got a theme going tonight.
Yeah. I went on Sandy Beach's cruise number 11.
Nice.
And it turned out that a lot of the musicians there just happened to be from Nashville. And I got to play with a lot of them in the jam sessions. And it was very encouraging. So I had to go back to Richmond, Virginia, back and forth around that time. And this was 2006. And in March of 2006, I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to take a side trip and head to Nashville from Richmond before I go back to New Jersey. And I knew in 24 hours after I got here on a Sunday night, I knew by Monday night, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
And I came for 1 week. I stayed for two. I drove back to New Jersey, flew my family back down. And by Wednesday of the third week, I had bought property.
Wow.
I was committed.
Wow. And did they think you were nuts?
They thought I should have been committed. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you. I mean, Sam's Jams has become the go-to place. Yeah, the go-to event, I guess, every week for veterans and newcomers alike. Talk about Wednesdays and what it's like over there at Music Row's only remaining honky tonk.
Well, that was one of the first places where I played.
Was Bobby's Idol Hour.
Bobby's Idol
Hour. Yeah.
It's on 16th Avenue South on Music Row.
It's got the big statue out front.
Yeah, now it's a guitar.
It's a guitar, yeah.
Yeah, the guy lost his head that used to be there.
Poor guy.
So They put a guitar there, but it's a huge guitar.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful place. Probably the best dive bar in the world.
Yeah.
And the owner originally was a guy named Bobby Harold, who passed away before I got to town. His wife, Diane Harold, owned it for years after that. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, a guy named Lizard Tom Case, who is a great songwriter himself, bought the place, and he's one of us.
Yeah.
So that reflected in what he did with the place. And one of the big things was he went non-smoking, which up until then, it was one of those places that was just reeking of smoke.
Yeah.
And
it was tough to play at.
It was a tough place.
Yeah.
When he went non-smoking, I went to him and I said, listen, I got this idea that I'd like to start doing something on Wednesdays during the day. We're on the row, and I have a theory. Fridays are the new Saturdays. Thursdays are the new Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Mondays are the new Sundays, and Tuesdays are the new Mondays. And the only day that everybody on Music Row is probably going to show up for work is on Wednesday.
As long as it's after 10.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Yeah. So we started doing something from noon to 5, and that went from noon to 5 to noon to 6.
Yeah.
And now, for the last couple of years, it's been noon to 8.
Wow.
8 hours of nothing but songwriters and some of the
and
best.
People show up, yeah. Which is the coolest thing.
Yeah. People show up to play. Now they have tourists coming. They have buses going up and down Music Row, and it's a regular stop. And it's just a warm, warm kind of a cheers south.
Yeah.
You know, it's the
that's
feeling,
a great way to describe it. Yeah.
The feeling is so communal. All the songwriters, no matter what level they are, they're so supportive in there. And I just can't say. I'm an only child and now I have a family.
Oh.
That's the way it feels.
Yeah. Well, you've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of writers on that stage, on the Sam's Jam stage. What are some nuggets of advice for people who are just getting started playing their songs out in front of people? Some do's and don'ts of doing one of these shows?
Well, I'll tell you stuff from my experience, because I was writing songs for 34 years before I got to Nashville.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is important is here they tell everybody write what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I say write what you don't know. Make stuff up. It's more interesting. And nobody can tell you you're wrong. You're making it up. You're taking poetic license.
Okay.
So might as well have fun with it.
Right.
Also, write what is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't chase a radio song. Don't chase an artist. Don't chase a publisher or a manager. Just write the best, you know what, song.
Darn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doggone song.
There you go.
That you possibly can. And if you want to know if you're a good writer, find the best song you can find that's like that and put yours next to it. And if it compares, then you're in the ballpark. Okay. If it doesn't, you got to go back to the drawing board.
Okay. Now, what about when you actually get up on stage for the first time here in town and you're doing some of these songwriter nights? What are some do's and don'ts of doing those shows?
If you're going to practice at home, practice to a blank wall instead of looking at your fingers.
Okay.
Or at least to a mirror. Get used to where you're supposed to be on the guitar. Get used to what you're supposed to do. And then when you're on stage, look people in the eye.
Ah.
Sing to them. Don't sing to yourself.
Okay.
You know, really, really communicate, because that's what it's like. They want to be entertained.
Yeah.
That's the big deal.
So then I guess the best time to tune your guitar is like when you get up there, right?
No. People don't want you to waste time.
Yeah.
And I get it. You do want to be in tune. But the main thing is, when you're on stage, maximize your time to communicate with the people that are there.
Okay.
Entertain them.
Okay.
You don't have to sing perfectly. You don't have to play perfectly. But you have to entertain with all you got.
Yeah. And some of the most amazing writers in town are not that great singers.
Oh, absolutely not.
And it doesn't diminish it in any way, really.
Yeah.
When you go see them, because the songs are so good.
Sure.
One of my pet peeves is the long, long, long story about a song you've never heard before. What about that kind of thing when people get up there and You know, it's one thing if you're Sean Camp, then I want to know all about how that song was written, you know, but if you're, you know, somebody else.
Well, I actually have a friend who wrote a song called A 7-Minute Intro to a 3-Minute Song. That pretty, you know. Listen,
I love it.
You know, if you have something that's communicating and entertaining to the audience, it's no different than actually doing the song itself.
Right, right.
You just have to realize that it's not an excuse to say, well, I'm just a songwriter, I'm not an artist.
Right.
If you're playing in your bedroom, that's fine. If you're playing on a stage with a microphone, then it, you know, you have to look, you have to raise the bar.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that's good. And you as a, how hard is it for you to find people to come out and play? I mean, songwriters are notoriously unreliable. Yeah. I would say it would be a charitable word. So, you know, 8 hours is a lot of time to book on a Wednesday afternoon. So what?
Well, it started off kind of sparse. And the very first one that we did, I played 2.5 hours to the bartender before somebody came in.
Oh, wow.
It just was not a successful marketing thing.
Yeah.
Now, I invite people to try to book slots in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't book more than a week in advance, but I tell them, email me by Tuesday night, let me know what time you want to play.
Sure.
And I'll get you as close as possible. And generally by Tuesday night, most of the slots are full.
That's great.
Even before. Now, once in a while, somebody bails, but there are always people coming in and signing up.
Yeah.
And there's room to fill the slots. And worst comes to worst, if duty calls. Well, you're
there. Yeah.
I get up there. And,
yeah.
You know, I usually book a slot for myself now, but I've been known to help other people out too and play guitar for them or whatever.
Well, I was going to say, you're a great guitar player, so it's always handy to have you around. Or like, hey, take the solo on this or something. Do you sit up at the board sometimes and just keep your guitar on, or do you?
Yeah. Yeah? As a matter of fact, I picked up a gig on the side unintentionally doing that. There's a band, Freight Train, Christopher Floyd put together, called the Mighty Trainwrecks.
Okay.
And the Mighty Trainwrecks are an Americana band. They're kind of like a cross between The Dead, The Band, The Eagles, and Little Feet. And they were going through a search for a steady bass player. And one night they showed up and they didn't have a bass player at all. And I had already played guitar licks with them and sat in and all that, but I'd never done bass with them. However, I rolled off. I was sitting at the board. I plugged my guitar in. I rolled off all the top end and just played bass lines to their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So after their set was done, they came up. They said, "Too bad you don't have a bass." I said, "I got 5 of them." So I brought one in the next week and I started playing with them. And now it's, you know, I'm the bass player.
Now you're the bass player. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's great. We're actually headlining at Douglas Corner next Saturday night, if I could put in a plug.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you guys have what's the site people can go check that out?
I would say Douglas Corner or Google Freight, Google the Mighty Trainwrecks.
The Mighty Trainwrecks.
Okay. Right. There is a Facebook page for it. I don't know the exact URL for it, but
okay.
The Mighty Trainwrecks. There's something on Facebook, and they can always go to my Facebook or any of my sites. I always post all the gigs too.
Perfect. And that's
Most of my social networking, you know how you have like facebook.com/?
Yeah.
After the slash, it's Sam Cooper Jericat Music. And the Jericat is spelled Jericat.
Gotcha. Sam Cooper Jericat Music.
Yeah, all one word.
Sweet. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'd love to play a song off your CD that you brought with you and maybe get you to play one for us.
I would love that.
All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Showcase.
It's about 101. I thought 5 o'clock was never gonna come. But it's Friday night and I just got paid and I'm ready for some fun down at the Watering Hole.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's the Watering Hole. That's Sam Cooper joining us on our showcase this hour. You wrote that with Mark Stephen Jones. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that. He's a great writer too.
He's amazing.
Yeah. So let's see here. What tell us about the Leanne Womack truck. Tell us about that.
I was writing with somebody one day and I had told him something that another songwriter had said about, if you want to get a cut in this town, you got to have something that's a cross between Keith Urban and Rascal Flatts.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something that led me to think of a line that I told some other co-writers about Rascal Flatulation and Keith Urban Renewal.
Okay.
Well, that led to the whole song. And I wrote it with Chris Gantry,
mm-hmm,
and a guy named John Roniger, who's a great writer too. We did a video that's on YouTube. You can look it up, Leanne Womack Truck. And we call ourselves Hank Vicciccio and the original Not So Happy Campers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun video.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, I'd love to play a song off of your CD. What? How about track 3, Dirty Women? You wrote that with Athena.
Yeah.
I know Athena. She's a great lady. Well, let's do track 3, Dirty Women.
AM, she's up to milk the cows. Then Becky's off to the hen house. She looks so cute in her overalls. And you should see her when she's on the plow. She spreads her hay and fills her water trough. Then she heads to the creek to try to wash it off.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, that's Sam Cooper doing Dirty Women, of course. Yeah. That's awesome. Love that. Now, you started another another night over at the Gold Rush, right?
Yes, the Gold Rush on the Rock Block on Elliston Place.
Now, is that going to be different or the same as Sam's Jams? What's going on there?
No, it's different. It's not an open mic, but rather a showcase. And the songwriters that I invite to do it get a whole hour to do their stuff.
Aha.
So it's no more of that three-song stuff or anything. And even when they're...
Unless they're really long songs, then...
Yeah. Yeah, which
invite
is okay.
Scott.
Yeah.
If you invite Scott, then you'll get, you know, that'll be about three songs. Yeah, I'm teasing. No, he's not here, Scott. You know, so I could tease him.
But yeah, it's a wonderful place. The guy who manages it used to be in the Serendipity Singers himself, Frank Hull. And he happens to be a guitar collector. Sean, I don't know if you know him or not. Sean Camp's over here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know him or not, but he has 372 guitars. You
wow.
probably should know him.
Who's this?
Frank Hall. I don't know. He Frank manages Hall. The Gold Rush. So if that'll entice you to come in on a Monday night, that's he always brings in different guitars every week. And as soon as I get there around 6 o'clock to get ready, Frank is his arm extended with another guitar ready for me to try. I'm like, whoa, this is
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, you have a guitar right there. We'd love to hear you play something.
All right.
That's a pretty one.
Well, this is a beat up old one now. It wasn't beat up when I got it, but
it's been well loved.
As a matter of fact, she's a Martin and I named her Sweet Loretta.
Aww.
So, you know, I figure, now I'm going to get some help.
Oh, that's right. We got Lauren Massetti who stayed behind.
She is possibly my favorite singer.
Aw, thank you.
And I am so lucky that she was here for this show too.
Is so much fun. Sam's a good buddy of mine and one of my favorite writers in town and one of the coolest guys on the planet. So I can't say enough good things about mm-hmm. you and Sweet Dawn. So
yes. Well, besides you, if you feel a third harmony coming on here.
I'm going to leave that up to the players.
Well, okay. When you hear the song, let's see what happens right. If you can feel it, okay? There's a tire swing tied to an old oak tree by a field full of cotton as far as the eye can see. Had a bell on a porch that Mama would ring when it was time to come and get it. Round the table we bowed our heads and prayed. Mama would swat our hands if we didn't wait. And Daddy gave a look if we misbehaved. We all knew that he meant it. All of these moments that we shared may not have been heaven, but it's halfway there. Yeah. Nothing's changed in all the years in the town that I was born in. Ain't an empty spot in the parking lot at church on Sunday morning. An old man sit and talk about their days of glory. And I've heard it all a thousand times, but I still love their stories. Said I'm in this town and it's in me. And it's something we all share. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway there. When heavy rain set in last fall, hand in hand we built a sandbag wall. And our little town didn't seem so small when we all pulled together. We like to do things our own way. That's what I love about this place. Had a chance to leave, but I stayed. Probably will forever. It's hard to find a place like this. They're getting rare. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway there. Yeah, the streets roll up at 10 o'clock almost every night. And the only thing on Main Street is a blinking traffic light. Nothing here is flashy, but what'll blind your eyes are the 7 million stars that you'll see up in the sky. I ain't saying that we're perfect, no, but we don't care. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway. Yeah, nothing's changed in all the years in the town that I was born in. Ain't an empty spot in the parking lot at church on Sunday morning. No old men sit and talk about their days of glory. And I've heard it all a thousand times, but I still love their stories. Said I'm in this town, and it's in me, and it's something we all share. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway there. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway there. It may not be heaven, but it's halfway.
Very nice. Sam Cooper, everybody. You can find him online. Sam Cooper, Jerricat Music on Facebook, right?
Yes, Sam Cooper, Jerricat Music.
That's the best place to find him. Well, thank you for joining us for our showcase. That is awesome. And we got another great writer coming up in just a few minutes. Rob Harris, you're going to want to stick around for that. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.
At Kewaunee Park, riding bikes till it got too dark. Hillsides covered in dogwood bloom. Sunday best for the Friday dance. Our yellow jackets were county champs. Caddy golf and pizza from Walnut Room. Down the road from that abandoned mine, that schoolhouse we attended K through 9. In that 4 mile valley between those hills, coal dust gathered on the windowsill.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. Our Music Row Showcase this month. We've got some great writers in, brought to you by our good friends over at LR Bags. Make great amplification equipment, and if it's acoustic, they can amplify it. It's awesome stuff. And joining us right now is Rob Harris.
Hello, Hino.
Hello, Rob.
How are you, sir?
Great. Well, I've known Rob for many years.
Yes.
When he was doing music worship leader at a church that we both used to go to.
And, right.
Longtime listeners may remember him as what the first person ever to win a Larrivé guitar from our show years ago when we were over at another station here in town.
I was the first?
You were the first.
Nice.
Yeah, or maybe second, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Well, either way, I was grateful.
But I've always been impressed with his songwriting abilities, and for a long time now he's had cuts with a whole bunch of indie artists over the years, and probably one of the coolest Garth Brooks stories that we'll get to a little bit later that I'd love him to tell you. But right now I'm just thrilled to say, Rob Harris, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It is an absolute treat to be here. Thank you. Nice.
So when did you figure out that the whole music bug bit you?
Oh, probably grade school, middle school, and started, in band and marching band and those kind of things.
Oh,
and
so it was all about the girls then.
Total band geek. Yeah, boy. Yeah. In probably middle school years, I started playing guitar. My dad actually taught me my first few chords on a guitar. And he was a huge Don Williams fan, and I wanted to make my dad proud. So one of the first songs I ever learned to play was a Don Williams song, because I wanted dad
Which
to say,
one?
You know, I don't remember.
Ah!
It was definitely Don Williams. And,
okay.
And I'm still a big Don Williams fan to this day for that reason.
Nice.
But always played guitar through school, got to college, still played in coffee houses back before coffee houses were really a thing. So I guess I had to be 8 or 9 years old when music became a big part of what I knew I wanted to do.
What did you play in marching band?
I played tenor saxophone.
Wow.
And at times I played snare drum. Thank you very much.
Look at you at the same time. No?
No. And then I got into high school. I did not play them at the same time. But in high school, I played bass guitar in the marching band, believe it or not. I was the first one in the state of West Virginia where I grew up.
An acoustic or an electric?
No, it was an electric. It was a big PV amp powered by 2 car batteries.
What was it? On wheels? Or
it was on a wheeled cart. I'm not exaggerating. So when we did a drum break or something in a parade or an away football game, people could hear that PV bass from miles away. So that was a blast.
Awesome.
Played bass guitar in the marching band.
Wow.
Yeah, and whoever
is
was
there
late,
any video of that?
I hope not.
Oh,
I hope not.
Dang.
But whoever was late for practice had to push the amp. So that was, you had to be okay on time or you were on amp duty.
Have you ever had, so, there was some Woody Allen movie, I can't remember which one, where he was a cellist in a marching band.
Was that right?
And he would like run ahead of the band, sit his chair down and play while the whole band passed him by. And then he'd pick up his chair, run to the front, you know, just kind of did that over and over. So
sure.
Your idea was better on wheels there. So what eventually brought you here to Nashville then?
We moved to the Nashville area in March of the year 2000. It was for music, but it wasn't specifically for songwriting like a lot of people move here for. We came to this area because I had accepted a position as worship minister at this church where you and I met.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what initially brought us here. And I'd been writing songs since I was in high school, just for fun. And then once we moved to the Nashville area, my wife really encouraged me to, just hunker down on it some more and try to take it more seriously. Not long after we moved here, a good friend of mine said, I want you to meet a friend of mine who's a neighbor, and I think you guys would have a lot in common. And so he invited me to this men's Bible study. And the friend that he wanted to introduce me to was Rory Feek.
Oh, yeah.
So we met 17 years ago in this men's Bible study. It had nothing to do with the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we became friends. And then years later, as he and his wife Joey had a solo career at that mm-hmm. time, and he invited me to play guitar for her. So I did a little bit of that. And then they went on Can You Duet, and mm-hmm. I got fired. as her guitar player. No, because Rory and Joey, some of my favorite people, and they did.
He's a pretty good guitar player himself.
He can handle it just fine. Yeah. So, no, they started traveling as a duo and well-deserved. But they've been great friends for a long time.
One too many for a duo.
Yes.
It was you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't
too bad.
It wasn't a trio show.
So when you were doing the worship leader, just for people who may not know, that's the guy who like kind of picks all the music and puts it all together. And
if it's a church that has a band kind of setting, which we did, mm-hmm. real contemporary kind of style, then the worship dude is the guy that chooses the music, rehearses the band, leads the band on Sunday morning, and just through the music part of the mm-hmm. of the worship service. So I did that for the better part of 10 years. And while I was at that church, I got a publishing deal with Identical Entertainment here in town. Sheila Bauer was our publisher at the time and wrote for them for probably 5 years, I guess. And those 5 years were absolutely the most fun and the most creative time I've ever had in writing or doing music. I cherish those days, and I wish they were still around. But eventually the publishing company just decided to close up shop because there were no big cuts coming out of our catalog. And mm-hmm. it was just a tough time. But man, I loved those days and so grateful for my time at Identical.
What are some of the challenges of trying to pursue a songwriting career while doing that particular job? I mean, do they kind of go hand in hand, or do they compete with each other?
No, I tried to keep them separate, and I only when I was employed full time at the church, I only wrote on my days off. So I did it on my time, never mm-hmm. on the church time. So I didn't have as much time to do it as I wanted. Then I left the church, and I had the full time publishing deal. So I was writing for them, 40 hours a week, and oh mm-hmm. my gosh, I loved that so much.
Yeah.
When I was at the church, I tried to keep it totally separate. It was, just my own thing and did it on my time. But eventually, it became something that I was blessed to do full time for a while.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, one of the songs that you wrote, why don't we go ahead and listen to that song? It's
okay.
Let's see. It's the last track on the CD.
The last one.
What's mm-hmm. What's the number?
Nine, I believe.
Number track 9. All right, let's have a listen to this song. We'll talk about it afterwards.
light from the trail of a falling star, notes from the strings of a sad guitar, willows in the hands of an angry April wind, know how to dance, 'cause they know how to bend. The stubborn steel of a railroad track, tears for someone who's never coming back. Highways and rivers twist and turn and then find their way home, 'cause they know how to bend. I'd be in one piece with nothing to mend. I could stand on my feet again. You would still be beside me. I wouldn't need to pretend. My heart wouldn't break if it knew how to bend. Struggle to come clean, faith underneath the weight of shattered dreams, knees that kneel down every now and then, find forgiveness 'cause they know how. My heart knew how to bend.
Thank you, sir.
Rob Harris, How to Bend. That's a great song.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back with more of Rob Harris here on The Music Row Show.
It's all about you. Yeah, I'll go wherever you wanna go. Lead me on and tell me your dreams. I don't wanna miss a single thing. I wanna be where you are, 'cause baby, you're the star of my show. I'd camp out all night, be the first.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Rob Harris doing our LR Bags showcase this month, and that's a tune of his called On the Front Row. And before we went to break, we played How to Bend. Mm-hmm. Great song, but there's a cool story that kind of came out of that song. Tell us about how that all happened.
Okay, I wrote How to Bend with my good friend David Rivers, and his publisher had been pitching it around town. And we got together to co-write, and he said, hey, I want to read you something. And so he read me this email. And it was from an artist who loved the song, couldn't use the song, but just wanted to encourage us and say, man, I think you guys are on the right track. I think somebody is going to cut this song and it's going to be a hit for them. And I can't use it right now, but it's going to wind up in a Disney movie or something. And he said it was signed Garth. And I just kind of stopped. I said, Garth Brooks? He said, yeah. Garth took the time to write us an email, like two paragraphs, just to say, I want to encourage you guys. I can't use it, but I hope somebody does soon. And we thought, you know, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So I printed it out and it's framed.
Yeah.
Because it's not every day, you know, you get an email from the biggest selling solo male artist in music history. So,
yeah.
You know, he'll probably never remember having done that, but my co-writer and I will never forget it.
That
it was
is
so
awesome.
Kind of him to do that. And so, yeah, that's our Garth Brooks story.
Nice.
I love our near that. Miss with Garth.
Hey, well, you know what? That's still got a cool story out of it. Your latest CD is called Winnebago.
Correct.
Those last two songs were off of that. You got to work with a pretty well-known guy. Michael Farren produced the album. How'd you get together with him?
Yeah, I don't know how we met. We may have met through a mutual friend. You know, now that I think about it, I believe it was Chad Green from ASCAP that introduced us and got us together. And Michael just became a good friend. And then he wound up producing this CD. I think it was the first country thing he had produced.
Okay.
And in the last couple of years, he's kind of become a big deal.
He's doing pretty well for himself. Yeah.
He's got Grammy nominations and Dove nominations and just a great guy. So I'm thankful that his name's on this project.
Well, that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, people who know you know that you kind of have a love affair with a certain Caped Crusader named Batman.
Yes.
So any Batman songs? I mean,
not yet.
Now what?
No, not yet. No, they're always kind of swirling in the back of my head, but nothing yet. There'll probably be one day.
You're the only guy I know with the actual full-on Batman suit. I mean, like the real thing.
Are we really going there with
that? I just think that's the coolest thing ever.
I am a bit of a Batman enthusiast.
To put it mildly.
I do appearances around Nashville and other areas.
Yeah.
For the Children's Hospital, Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and the zoo and Franklin Pumpkin Fest. And I love doing stuff for kids, but it's also fun.
Nice. Well, now that I've made you blush, why don't we get a song out of you? You feel like playing something for us here?
Well, sure. I would be happy to.
Make sure your volume's up and we'll be good to go. All right.
Let's see if we're getting a signal there.
There we go. All right. What do you feel like playing?
You know, I'm going to play a song that I wrote with, I mentioned David Rivers. He and I wrote this one with Todd Taylor.
Okay.
And we got together to write a few years ago, and it was maybe just a few months away from our oldest daughter graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. So my wife, Laura, and I have three daughters, Bailey, Emily, and Amanda. So Bailey was getting ready to graduate, and we were just talking about everything that goes through a parent's heart when it's that time, that season. So this song showed up that day. So that's what I'll do. This is all about kids growing up too fast. It's called Takes. A number one candle on her birthday cake. She had more frosting in her hair than on her plate. She smiled for the camera, and as it flashed, I remember thinking, I hope this takes. One day she's a baby crawling across the floor. Turn around and there's a young man standing at the door. He shook my hand and said, I'll have her home before 10, no matter what it takes. And as I watched her walk away, all I could do was hope and pray that all the love and every lesson given along the way in that same old gym where she had her first high school dance, we teared up as she marched into pomp and circumstance. I hope she knows as she moves on what we've known all along, that girl's got what it takes. And as she walked across that stage, All we could do was hope and pray that all the love in every lesson given along the way takes. It's 3 months after graduation day, and I'm helping her pack the trunk of that second-hand Chevrolet. She blows a kiss and drives away, and her mom and I just hope and pray that all the love in every lesson given along the way, oh, I hope it takes.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you, sir.
Love that.
Thank you.
All right. That's a beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
Well, you do a lot of house concerts, don't you?
I try to, yeah.
What are some good tips for performers who are thinking about doing that, and that's different from, let's say, doing them, you know, at a local bar or something?
Yeah, I use Facebook a lot, and I'll send out an invite if there's an area I want to spend a weekend in doing some house shows. It takes one person to say, yes, I'd like to host one. And mm-hmm. then once I get a yes, I start building around that and try to do more within 30 minutes or an hour of that one. So I try to group them into Indianapolis or Cincinnati or Atlanta, so I'm not running all over the place.
Right.
But once one person says yes, and for me, a good size house concert is, you know, 15, 20 people, 25 at the most.
Okay.
And there's no hard admission fee. It's a suggested donation, and they know that in advance. Then I create a Facebook event so the host can share it with whoever they want to invite. And it's just real informal, laid back. Sometimes I don't even use a sound system, depending on the setting. And it's just a great time. I love doing house concerts. And if I could do those full time, I probably would. Because it's a great time. I just love doing them.
And as far as the actual performance, is that do you have to approach that any differently than you would on a bigger stage?
Well, it's so intimate. I mean, you're in somebody's bonus room or living room or, you know, whatever, and people are just 10 feet from you, so you're just looking them right. And it's a little more nerve-wracking for me than, you know, a traditional venue, but
awesome.
I love doing them.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Listen,
thanks for having me on our showcase. Where can people find you online?
RobHarrisOnline.com, and all my social stuff is connected to that. And if you're interested in the Batman stuff, it's on Facebook, Nashville Batman.
Oh, I'm interested.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to be checking that out. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Hit us up on themusicrowshow.com, and we'll see you next time.